Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
You never guess who I saw in the club on Saturday night?
Oh my God, who?
The other Sprouse.
Wow, both Sprouses in the same club.
Both Sprouses, same club. This time it was Dylan with Barbara Pelvin.
Wait, I have a crazy story about Barbara Pelvin.
Okay, tell me.
A dear friend of mine, her parents, very chic, had like very cool jobs. As a result, like she grew up in Manhattan and her parents were kind of like in the magazine art photography world. Okay. So like picture all that. You know, she modeled in a little baby magazine campaign spread about like her beautiful bedroom. And her father was a photographer and they went to, I believe it was Africa, to shoot Barbara Pelvin when she was a little bit like earlier in her career.
Okay.
And she has like a vivid memory of sitting around and listening to her like stepfather and the other photographer that was there talk about how fat she was. And how, like, they were having such a hard time editing her photos because she was, like, so, so fat.
What?
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
And she was just listening to this, like, a little girl, like, oh, really? Whoa.
Yeah, because remember she was the first curve Victoria's Secret angel at a size 6.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
At a size 6. And she's beautiful in person.
Oh my God, of course. And Hungarian.
Normally thin. Normal
yeah,
thin.
Yeah, normal and thin.
I think they were in the club with their parents, I want to say. Well, there was definitely like an older man and woman there, middle age for sure. It was so funny because it came at a time when Chris was like, am I too old to be here? And I just said,
no.
Look to the left.
Yeah.
There was someone literally in their 60s, right here. But it does bring me to my inspiration. I can't believe I'm getting into it so fast, but I have it. It's at the tip of my tongue.
Dive in.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've been so excited to share it all week. I've been ready. I am bundled up. I am ready to go. I'm stuck in the bucket of rug ready to share this inspiration. 10 p.m. when I got to this club. I got to the club when it opened, by the way. This never happened to me in my life. I walked into the club as it opened its doors. The bouncer said to me, is it just you four? Not like, how many of you, like, is it you four? Fuck, two of you are going to have to go.
Yeah.
He was like, any more people with you? Please, God, say yes, because we're trying to fill the space. That is how early I got to the club.
Oh my God.
So we'll start there.
Yeah.
So I walked into an empty tenants. Can you imagine
that? Wow, I actually can't.
Like, I'm spinning around in like an empty space. Very soon after we arrived, beautiful young people, got to be early to mid 20s, a guy, cropped t-shirt, low rise pants, kind of a pearl choker, if you will, her low back halter neck top, a baby Louis Vuitton. It's all happening.
Yeah.
They made out for 3 hours and not just making out.
Yeah.
It was kissing of the neck. It was nuzzling. It was standing up, then sitting down. Standing up, then sitting down. It was outside. You know how there's like a tree courtyard. So it wasn't on the dance floor. They never danced at any point. And it got to the stage where, you know, all of us were watching. Our group grew to about 8 strong, 8 or 9 strong. And we were all watching this obviously unfold. They were getting steadily more intimate. It was steamy as fuck. And it was like, okay, so you're here. You have not bought a drink. You have not got up to dance to the music, which is just getting better and better as the night goes on. I don't know how you're hearing Kesha TikTok right now and it's doing nothing to your body. It's not breaking your embrace in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Why?
Why here?
Why here?
Yeah.
At what point are you going to go home?
With more comfort. You don't have wooden benches at home.
Exactly. And you could really like accelerate through the stages, right? Like we could be topless right now. We could be, you know, touching and loving to quote Nicki Minaj right now. There could be some Trey Songz magic happening right now. But alas, like we are confined by, you know, social norms and you are having to stay clothed. You're having to keep it PG. You're just making out. Finally, at the end of the night, this is 1:30 because of course we live in Los Angeles and the clubs close at 2 a.m. And if you leave at 2 a.m., you can never get an Uber that costs, you know, less. Yeah, we all know that. We all know the drill if we live in the city. To walk out we had to step through two gargoyles, which was them and their friends, another couple furiously making out, flanking the doorway.
Oh my God.
So you know that entrance way, right?
That's such a dramatic sight.
Yes. You have to kind of come around, you have to go through a narrow hallway. They were making out on either side of the doorway. And to exit, we had to walk through them. And I, at that point, was like, oh, come on. Come on. This is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's spectacular. Physically, like that feels like a physical feat for 3 hours.
No, it was watching a marathon. Your lips are tired, your tongue is exhausted. I don't think like a boner can last that long, like not to get X-rated with it, yeah. But it's like, how is this still going? You're chapped. You haven't had a sip of water for what feels like days.
Oh my God.
It was inspiring for that very reason, because it was so spectacular a feat, but I just was absolutely shocked. And I did turn to a friend and say, I haven't seen anyone make out outside of the movies in such a long time. Like, yeah. It is strange to see people just like making out in public. People don't do it anymore, it feels like.
You know, I'll steal a glance when I catch that, like, you know, in a dark corner at a bar. But there does come a point where sometimes when it goes on for that long, it's like you're just staring openly.
You're just openly staring.
Like, there's a group of 9 of you all staring.
Yeah.
And
that's fine.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And I don't feel like I'm invading their privacy because you chose to be here. You wanted to put on a show.
I think that's a part of the appeal.
I know.
I think it has to be in public. If they could be on a couch.
Oh.
It's that push and the pull. It's the sort of like what we shouldn't.
Oh, it's the exhibitionism of it.
I think so. And I also think it's tantalizing because it's like, this is all we can do here.
No,
you know, and there's people around. I mean, I think that's part of the excitement for sure.
It just blew me away. It was all we could think about. It was all we could do.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. And it was truly a stunning end to what I would like to think of as a perfect day. I had the best day of my life that day. I went to the beach.
Oh my God.
Oh, I had a margarita off the beach. I had an ice cream. And then I finished the night with a dance. And there's nothing
God.
I love more than a dance.
Yeah.
Put me in a club.
It's so funny because we were having tandem perfect days. I also had a perfect day
that day. Oh, tell me the perfect day.
I was going to end the night at Tenants. So funny to think about us running into each other out in the wild like that. That was my plan, always, to end the night there. But I got too drunk at dinner. I had 3 margaritas, and that was too many.
Only 3?
3, but with like on a bed of like 2 shrimp tacos, you know? I think that was where I went wrong. It was like if I was at a pasta dinner, I would have been fine.
If anyone's listening and watching this, I am thinking what you are thinking. Which is that you are the biggest lightweight in the world. That is ridiculous. 3 margaritas. You should be able to get through 3 margaritas at dinner.
I've regressed. The tolerance, it fades in and out. And mine is low now. Mine is low. But I'm getting it up there. I'm working my way up. But I started the day, went to Echo Park to meet a friend for like a little coffee. I ran into a friend of yours. Actually, I ran into multiple friends of yours.
Who?
I forgot to even tell you. Kelsey.
Oh.
And then I saw Will.
Will.
Yes.
Wow.
But he was on the other side of the street, so I didn't say anything. Then after that, I went to a friend's pie party. It was a party where everyone had to bring a pie.
Oh my God, that sounds like my dream party.
It was amazing. There was an entire table filled with pies. It was so cute too.
What flavors did you have?
Oh my God. I had pecan. I had like a peanut butter one. I had apple. I had a fair share of apple. I had sort of a vegan like dark chocolate with like a chocolate crust one. I tried a bunch of different ones and then I took home the chocolate peanut butter, which I was surprised by, but it was very light. It was so good.
Oh, they let you just take it?
Yeah, she sent everyone home with pieces because...
That would have been gluttonous.
And it's a goodbye party, so she's going to be leaving soon. So
if she was like, thank you so much. I'm now going to keep 30 different dishes.
Thank you so much, yeah. And at that party was a baby. One of our dear friends and Uggos, Olivia's baby, was at that party. I walked in. She was the first face I saw. Then I went to go play tennis. And the Griffith courts are just absolutely adorable.
This is such a long day.
It was. And then from tennis, I went to... get my margaritas.
What are you wearing to go from tennis to dinner with
margaritas? I stopped at home, changed.
Okay.
We were gonna originally go in our tennis clothes, but honestly, we got too sweaty. Tennis is hard. I forgot how hard it
is.
It was so hot. And then, yeah, we went to dinner. It was absolutely beautiful and got a last little beer and then came home absolutely wasted and watched Industry.
You haven't watched it before.
Steven was watching it and I was like, I'll find my way there eventually. And now I'm in and I'm obsessed.
It's so
fucking good.
Intense.
It's
good. I mean, it's one of the best shows I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that was my day, my perfect day. I feel good about it.
It's the only thing we can feel good about right now.
I know. For real. And my inspiration is genuine because that whole day was in celebration of a new job. I have a new job.
Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you so much. I'm leaving my old job. I legally can't disclose. But with that job, it's bittersweet because I'm leaving a lot of very sweet friendships. I'm leaving a lot of strange celebrity interactions. I'm leaving this humorous little period of my life where nothing made sense.
I gotta say, this has been the most frustrating thing for the Igos is that Ivana was in a job where the celebrity interactions were frequent.
Yeah, constant.
And she would come in, you know, and tell me, and as soon as we got on air, it would be like, you know, zipped lips, we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't go public with it. You've signed an NDA, yeah. You're all tight-lipped.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we still won't be talking about it.
I know, and I wish I could tell you everything. And if I see you in person, I'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
I will. The stories I have.
Oh.
But
I'm thinking of one right now.
I know.
I'm thinking of a pseudonym.
I know.
Right.
The pseudonyms.
Right now.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And it feels like a real fresh start. And all the retrogrades are done. It doesn't feel like they're done.
No. I still feel like I'm in an emotional washing machine.
Well, no. And I think that is true. There's a, you know, an afterbirth. The fourth trimester, really.
It might just be politically. That's what we're reeling from still. Oh, my goodness.
Hell is on earth.
Well, this woman makes a heaven wherever she goes.
That's true.
Was that good? Perfect. Was that perfect?
That's perfect. We're going to get spiritual.
We are going to get really spiritual in this one.
Yeah.
It's Coachella season. We're in the in-between Coachella weekends. Sorry, we don't know what happened because we pre-record this, so sorry about that.
Something crazy happened.
We'll
address it later.
We'll talk about it later. Okay. And I mean, it's really appropriate because she is a party girl, ultimately. In fact, the headline of this piece is Vanessa Hudgens is the life of the party. But she is in nylon in this particular profile. It is 2022, which was kind of like a weird year. It was a year of hype, but nothing was really happening. And when I say that, it's because everyone was talking about like Barbie, but Barbie hadn't come out yet, wouldn't come out for another year, but everyone was really excited about it. And the same went for Taylor Swift and Beyonce's tours, which were both announced and teased this year, but like we were going to wait another year. Yeah, another year for it.
Wow, a year of anticipation.
A year of anticipation. There was, of course, Euphoria season 2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone can really think back to that time. 3 years ago, that last season came out.
Oh my God.
Isn't that outrageous?
That's the most recent season?
That's the most recent season.
What are they going to do? I forgot everything.
I know. Is this play about us? That was
2022. Oh, that was where it ended.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes. TikTok was really exploding during this time. There was a lot of, you know, TikTok trends, girl dinner, viral recipe hacks, you know, what I eat in the days, all of that. Podcasts have never been bigger than in 2022.
Yeah.
The podcasting boom loomed large. Smartless really kicked off this year. Obviously, Armchair Expert. We would plan this podcast in 2022. So we were very much.
We were right there with them.
Right there with the best of them. Really, AI was in the works this year. This was when people started to get seriously worried about AI and deepfakes. So it was kind of this weird in-between year where there was a lot of things boiling, simmering, bubbling, but nothing was kind of breaking the surface, it feels like.
Wow, little airport year.
Yeah.
Everyone just kind of waiting to take off.
Very much just sitting in the terminal being like, what is to come? We don't quite know.
And I'm hungry.
And if we could, and I need a margarita.
And,
and if we could look forward and see to 2025, we might have wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
But Vanessa Hudgens was having a great year. I mean, she was living large as she often is at all times.
That's true.
But looking back, I mean, Vanessa Hudgens came to this world at the same time as many celebrities, actually. 1988. There's this period of millennial celeb, which exists in this pocket of time from 1986, I want to say, to 1989. And so many of them are born in this little era. Mary-Kate and Ashley. It's like Maddie Healy.
Taylor Swift.
There's just so many of them that are just in this little like late 80s.
Boom time.
She is of Native American descent, which I didn't know. She was born in California. And from an early age, she had a real passion for performance. She started taking vocal lessons at age 5. And my God, does that girl have some pipes? There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach.
Of course.
And there's not a note And she landed roles in The Wizard of Oz and The King and I in community theater productions. And then in her teens, her family relocated to Orange County. And that is where she continued to hone the craft.
Perfect.
Orange County.
She went to my high school. And there was a rumor that she didn't smell so good.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yes. She was there for like a year.
She's always been very out and proud. Do you remember her sending news to Zac Efron that got leaked?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was ahead of the curve with that. No one else was really doing that prior to her.
No. And I do think she overlapped in attendance there with Drake Bell briefly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There was like a brief time where everyone was sort of there for a while.
Well, what is insane is she was cast as Gabriela Montez in High School Musical when she was only 15. She was so gorgeous. I remember being like, well, this is my entire personality now, this hairstyle.
Same.
Say no more.
It had me like this.
Yeah. Oh, a little like combed over fringe with a finger curl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be having what she's having.
Yeah.
And the massive success of that film launched her into superstardom, and she has really been in the public eye ever since, which is crazy that a Disney film could have that kind of grip on the culture.
And a TV Disney film. Like one that aired live.
Made for TV Disney film.
Fascinating.
Like, I remember where I was. Like, yes. Like, it's like Michael Jackson Thriller. Like, yep. I remember where I was. It's unbelievable.
I know. It had such an effect on me. I mean, especially like as a high school theater kid, like watching it with other high school theater kids, there was sort of like nothing more powerful in the world than that.
And just someone trying to deny their true identity as a musical theater kid.
Oh my God.
And like the fact that there was never a hot guy doing theater, and that someone like Zac Efron with those bangs,
I know,
might just waltz in one day and audition. It was a fantasy.
I mean, my God, with the Gatorade blue eyes. It was just, it was everything. It was everything. It was the fantasy. And it never happened, obviously. But,
of course not. Of course not.
That's the whole thing about a fantasy.
But this story ran in the It Girl issue of Nylon in 2022. Lauren McCarthy, who is actually the editor-in-chief of Nylon, she is really lauded for shaping that magazine's entertainment coverage with a very like youth-focused point of view. She oversees features and interviews and trend pieces and is actually known for deep diving profiles. We should really have her on. I hope we do one day.
Yeah, she has her finger like so on the pulse.
She dates former Rolling Stone writer, I think, who I once met on Raya. Grant, if you're listening, hi. Hi. I remember being so incredibly jealous of him and being like, I could never date another writer.
Oh my God.
Like him being like, yeah, I'm just in the car to interview Fetty Wap for Rolling Stone. Just headed to Jersey right now.
You've made me want to die.
Yeah. I don't think I can do this. But he's a lovely man, Grant. Shout out. And now he is with Lauren.
Amazing.
And I'm with a man who doesn't have a creative bone in his body. No, engineering is very creative. Creating things in the physical world.
Creating equations.
You know that my best and possibly only asset is my hair.
Oh my God. We can't go anywhere without you getting compliments.
Only because of the Megastar flat iron from New Me. I'm telling you, dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to throw some brands out. I used to be a GHD girl. I used to be a Harry Josh girl. I am only...
Chi?
What?
A Chi girl.
I used to be a Chi girl too.
Yeah, I know.
From now on, I'm only a New Me girl. I'm only a New Me Megastar flat iron girl. I'm telling you, it's the tourmaline technology, if you haven't heard of that, neither had I. It locks in moisture as it passes through your hair. So your hair doesn't get dry. It doesn't get fried. You can still control the heat.
And the infrared light strip prevents damage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge. So you can straighten as much as you want without having to worry about frying your ends.
This is an ad, but I'm being so genuine. This is such a good product.
Oh, and you're not the only one. I mean, it has 4.9 stars and 28,000 reviews.
28,000 You're in good company. I know that you have an old rusty straightener right now and you need an upgrade, and this is it. You can get 15% off the Megastar flat iron with the code UNCOVER. NUME here.com with the code UNCOVER. The profile begins like this. I am honestly the freest spirited control freak you will ever meet, Hudgens says, sitting in the backyard of her new Studio City home, the valley skyline extending behind her. She just moved in this summer, so the place is sparsely decorated, but she has big ideas for the vibe. Keywords include 70s, porny. It's P-O-R-N. Masculine. And she also plans to design it herself. By the way, her previous place required too much upkeep for someone as on the go as she is. And from her current perch, she can actually see her first house downhill. So she is literally looking down at her old life.
That's powerful. Also, to be on your second house. It's not everybody.
We're graduating. We're moving on up. Literally. Yeah. It's mid-afternoon in early August when Lauren meets her, and she's spending a couple hours in Vanessa's house. The plan was originally, I think, to go to a Mexican restaurant with her. Mm-hmm. And then Vanessa was like, I want to be at home. I'm never at home. I'm always traveling. Can we just stay a casa? So they do. She's just got back from a work trip to Capri the night before, and the next day is heading to Arizona to meet her boyfriend, who is the Diamondbacks player Cole Tucker. And they actually met on a celebrity meditation Zoom. She's like, I'm not gonna call it a celebrity Zoom, but it was a Zoom meditation group that Joe Jonas put together. Yes, she says. I did not expect it at all, and I just showed up and I was like, who the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, because how? Meditation is famously sort of an isolated...
Yes.
You know, it's isolated work.
And how do you identify someone hot...
On Zoom.
On Zoom, and then try and kind of like meditate your way through that. Yeah. Like, I am eyes closed, zen, but pouting, trying to keep everything on lock. But tonight she's hosting a birthday party for a friend who has been staying at her house, and she is quietly party planning while hosting also Lauren, who's writing this profile. So at one point she's literally suggesting flavors of ice cream that a friend should pick up from the store. And that is because she actually takes partying very seriously. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I am kind of obsessed with her vibe.
Me too.
Everything about her is so hilarious. She really reminds me of this character. Oh my God, I've got to get over this. But this character in Southern Charm who like treats partying like an actual job. And she's just kind of like, yeah, there is nothing that would make me happier than showing up to a club at night and everything is just like an underground rave with lasers and smoke machines and it's dark and you can't really see anyone. Like, that is her idea of a dream.
And I believe her. There's something about that. I mean, honestly, the first line, the freest spirited control freak, it's all coming through here.
No, and that's, I think, the perfect way to be if you're a party planner. You love to have fun, but everything needs its place.
Yeah, because if you've actually met someone that's like genuinely type A, that's like very organized and like needs... not chaos. It's very hard. It's like, because there's a part of this that you just sort of have to give up to your higher power. It's like the night will go where it goes. Yes, my phone may die, but that's a part of the night.
Right.
We'll find our way.
I don't think her phone will ever die. I think she's so prepared.
Yeah.
It's like she will be so prepared that she can fully let go when the moment is right.
Well, that's my personal philosophy on itineraries. I think that when you have an itinerary, you're set free.
I have found sometimes it to be the opposite. I have found that itineraries can be extremely binding. And I am someone who an itinerary imposes perfectionism on. I don't feel set free by them. I feel bound by them. And so
like you have to follow them to a T.
I have to follow them to a T because I planned everything perfectly and now I can't let anything go.
Oh my God.
So I have the opposite approach to itineraries, unfortunately. But I'm someone who really, I love to attend a party. I am someone who loves to be on a trip that someone else has planned. Yeah. I love to be told where I'm going. And for that reason, I think I'm a great guest.
Yeah. Hosts and guests.
I'm a guest.
I love to host.
I am a guest through and through and proud of it.
Yeah.
So after buzzing Lauren through the gate, she is like, have one of my new cactus water beverages. I guess it's called Cali water.
Does it exist?
I feel like I have heard of it or maybe seen it out.
You can buy it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can buy it. It's like flavored seltzers, I guess, right? And coconut.
You know, celebrities love a drink.
They love a drink.
They need a drink.
I think it's the easiest way to fucking crack any kind of market, right?
Yeah.
People love beverages.
Betty Buzz.
Yeah.
Dessois.
Katy Perry's. Yeah. Yes. She immediately is like, let's order something on Postmates. Even though Lauren's not hungry, she makes her order something anyway. They land on a kind of a vegan restaurant and they both get a beefless jerky, which is such
yummy.
Such a niche thing to share. And she's just really, really happy to be home. She's also had just like a crazy year, it seems. She starred in Lin-Manuel Miranda's Netflix film Tick, Tick, Boom. And that was the highest critical acclaim moment she's had thus far. She also was in the breakout Netflix hit film series, The Princess Switch. Mm-hmm. And she was producer on that. So she must have so much money.
That did so well.
It did so well.
I know.
So
I've
well.
I've seen it. It was a delight.
Yeah, I saw parts, I didn't see it all the way through. But she is really defensive of that because she's kind of like, I'm really proud of it. I stand by it. And she was really like, iced. And with a Christmas twist, come on.
Come on, be real.
You would do it too. But I mean, her biggest kind of switch up, if you will, has been her move into taking on high pressure hosting gigs. She is on the red carpet these days. She's hosting the MTV Movie Awards, the Met Gala. I don't know if you remember this, but when she hosted the MTV Movie and TV Awards, Drake was like, Vanessa Hudgens, you looking good.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
So funny. He really stumped her in that moment. It was kind of like that Halle Berry, Adrian Brody kiss.
Yeah.
Without it being, of course, so incredibly assaulty.
Yeah.
Where it was just kind of like, wait. Are we being for real right now?
And it's too simple a sentence for you to respond to.
He was like, Vanessa, you are hot.
Yeah.
And then Nicki Minaj was like, what about me?
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
she literally said, what about me?
Oh, no.
What about me? And this kind of, this change, this kind of, you know, different path in her career came about at 27. Her Saturn return.
Been there.
When she woke up one day and was like, I have no idea who I am, what I want, or what I stand for. Never has there been more a relatable set of questions.
No. But she seemed to have taken it very well. She is quoted here saying that she's like, I believe in divine timing. I'm so grateful to have it later in life because I'm more comfortable with who I am as a human being. Like, she has this sense of like, I trust the universe.
Yeah.
And we get into that more. But I love when people talk like this. There's something about it that really soothes me and comforts me when people talk about believing in divine timing.
Yeah. And I mean, she went to therapy. She did shadow work.
Yeah.
Which I don't know a lot about, do you?
The whole idea is that you confront sort of like the most negative parts of yourself, like the ones that you like hide from and run from and like have maybe been like kind of chasing you like black dogs in the night for your whole life.
Is that what Jonah Hill did?
I don't know what he did. Mm. I'm always less curious about what men are doing. But it's a tough one. It's definitely not one where you leave being like, oh my God, I'm feeling refreshed.
No, you have to like look at the darkest part and be like, are we good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was like, I had to confront like what the things are that I don't like about myself. What are the things I put on a mask for? It involves a lot of uncomfortable conversations. I realized how much of myself I gave away to others when I actually was giving away and turning off pieces of myself. When you get older, she says, the sexier boundaries are.
True.
Of course. It is so true.
And she's 33 now.
She's so young.
Yeah.
She is so young.
Yeah.
When she first broke out in High School Musical, she did a sharp pivot into Spring Breakers and then pivoted again into like TV musicals. All of it has been subjecting her to like intense tabloid scrutiny. Like that's something that has been consistent throughout her entire career. And so has the Queen of Coachella. That title has also been consistent through her career. She attended the festival for, I think, like a decade straight. Always in a flower crown, always in a vest.
Crochet
and face jewelry and John Lennon glasses. And I think that she has like a complicated relationship with that. She always like feels like it's not something that she can fully claim. And she also says that the public only sees so much of her. She says, I've also been through two very long life-changing relationships and no one really knows what happened except for me. When I write my memoir, it'll be amazing. Those relationships, I think she's referring to as Zac Efron and Austin Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Austin, I think, dated for, I want to fact check this, but I think it was 9 years.
I think so too. And I do remember getting like full body chills at those videos of them passing each other at the Met Gala, like without so much as a glance.
I mean, to be strangers after 9 years is unbelievable. And
I know.
Her and Zach were 5 years. So yeah, 5 and 9. Really long time to be in a relationship.
God. I mean, that's like, yeah, that's her whole youth.
14 years in a relationship.
Yeah.
With two of the hottest guys in Hollywood. No. You gotta tip a hat.
For sure.
You gotta tip a crown.
Yeah. And she's like met friends at Coachella.
Yeah.
Sarah Hyland being one of them, of Modern Family fame. They met in Coachella in 2009. And then now she's a bridesmaid at Hyland's wedding. And Sarah chimes in here to say she's a really busy person, obviously, but she made every single wedding event, carved out dates, took red eyes, didn't sleep, sought out a sound healer for my bachelorette trip, and still looked drop dead gorgeous the entire time. Giving credit where credit is due.
In conversation, there's never a falter in Valley Girl light drawl. Lauren writes, no story unfinished without a mannered girlish giggle. Her answers are short, perhaps a remnant of the House of Mouse media training, but it feels more like she's just trying to have a normal conversation instead of holding back or dodging questions. I'm at the point now where I'm like, fuck anyone who doesn't fuck with me, she says. You either fuck with me or not. It's cool with me either way, but I fuck with myself, so that's all that matters. It's funny because we wanted to do Vanessa Hudgens and we were looking for a profile that kind of had teeth, that had meat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost impossible to find.
It is hard. They're not a ton out there.
No, it's basic Q&As or it's like 500. I'm talking about like 3-paragraph long profiles. To the point it's like, did she have nothing interesting to say? Did the publicist intervene and be like, that's off limits? And then the writer came away with very little and then just had to like make do. It was one of the most bizarre deep dives into a subject I think I've ever done in trying to pull up a profile.
Yeah.
Excavating this was kind of like the best we could find. And it was like, it's very recent. I mean, going back a little further, there's really nothing there. And this person has been famous for so long. So this paragraph was so interesting to me. The fact that Lauren literally writes her answers are short and perhaps as a remnant of the House of Mouse, aka Disney. Media training.
I know. I wonder if she was so young when High School Musical was, you know, in the pop culture zeitgeist, but that still, it's like she wouldn't.
She was in her early 20s when Spring Breakers came out. Yeah. Like she's had go arounds where she's been back in the media. And yeah, all of the profiles are very strange.
Yeah.
Also, she's had a lot of body health, physique related coverage of her. I don't know where she kind of fits into the celebrity landscape. She seems to be such an outlier for me.
Yeah.
To go from like musical theater actress, child star to red carpet host.
Yeah. Taking it all as it comes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. 20 minutes into the Met Gala, where she was on the red carpet hosting, she lost her voice. And that is not a casual, normal thing for her. That really threw her for a loop. And she was talking for 3 hours straight. It was high stakes small talk in this moment. She was talking to Olivia Rodrigo, Katy Perry, Emily Ratajkowski. And it was kind of crazy that she managed to like push through and no one turned her into a meme. She didn't put a foot wrong. She's a very, very smooth host that puts people at ease.
Yeah.
Her co-host at that time, Hamish Bowles, who's the editor-in-chief of the World of Interiors and global editor-at-large at Vogue, was like, she has an ability to connect with strangers in a natural and unforced way. It was freezing where we stood. Icy wind was whistling off the fountain for us. She was a consummate professional who understands that the show must go on. She is an icon of American talent.
That's a huge compliment.
High praise.
And I don't know if people know how hard it is. I think anyone would be nervous. It doesn't matter how many times you've been on stage. This is a different kind of thing. It's not about your preparedness. That's a piece of it. But it's also you just have to be so willing to improvise, so ready for anything to be said, anything to happen, and keep it cool the entire time.
And always have a follow-up question, which is near impossible. It's like being at a party and knowing that no one is going to ask you a question about yourself. You're never going to be able to rest on your laurels and be like, yeah, I had an amazing day. Thanks for asking. You are going to have to be prepared to keep the conversation alive at all costs.
And with different people.
Yes.
You're flitting flower to flower.
And having to know what is going on in each of their lives.
I know.
It's so tough.
That's such a hard job.
Yeah, it's really hard going. I think it's one of the hardest jobs in entertainment, honestly. Yeah. She can see herself hosting a talk show, though. She loves what Kelly Clarkson's doing right now. And the fact that Kelly gets to get up there and have a 9-to-5 and sing her little songs and then also talk to her favorite people.
Yeah.
That sounds like a sick way to live, she says. And I think it's nice, the idea that Kelly has kids and gets to stay in one place, because that is such a luxury for entertainers. On the topic of kids, she says, I always thought I would be married at 25 because that's when my mom got married. And then when that didn't happen, I was like, oh, okay, so we're just going to shift everything back a bit. And now she's thinking that like 36, 37, she wants to have kids. And of course, she now has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I realized how much parents inform what children do. Such a blueprint. And people don't, I think, factor in, you know, the time and the context when your parents did anything, got married, had children, whatever. And yet they still want to kind of adhere to the same timeline.
Oh, yeah. And it like it sits on your subconscious. It's not even like consciously like, I want to do everything my mom did.
Yeah.
But it's really hard actually to break out of those patterns, like familial patterns. We tend to just repeat them.
And like, I grew up in a family of four, so I want a family of four. Yeah. And like, I, or two or three or what have you, like I had lots of cousins, so I want my kids.
Yeah.
You can't imagine an alternate reality to what you grew up with.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that it's like, it's one of one. You're the only one that experienced the way you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there is no version to like step into someone else's reality of like what it was like to be an only child. Like you'll only ever know how it went for you.
Yeah. I feel incredibly freed by the fact that my mother had me later on in life. I mean, in the 90s, she had me at 36, which is was really old for that time.
Yeah.
And I remember among peers when I was, you know, in elementary school, and they all had mothers who were in their early 30s. And my mom was, you know, in her 40s at that time. So I now am like, oh, that's so freeing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are still just like, yeah, my mom had me at 25 or 26. I'm late.
My mom had me so young, my God. I mean, I remember her like 35th birthday.
You do?
Yeah.
How old was she?
She was 23, 24 when she had me. And like, I remember her 40th very well. But like, I remember these like wild milestones that I was a fully formed person making memories for.
It's really exciting to read something like this where she's like, I feel completely unpanicked about it. I'm just now shifting with the tides and being like, well, that didn't happen for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create a new reality that makes sense in my life, yeah, in my timeline.
And I feel that is the hallmark of spiritual people. People who are like, you know, there are forces outside of me at work.
She's so funny. Like the way she talks is so funny. Yeah. I mean, she's voicing an animated series with Kid Cudi. And talking about Kid Cudi, she's like, he's so dope. I was like, let's rip it. And now he's a homie. She's just hilarious. Like, I don't know what she's about. And just generally, she's really trying not to overthink all of her decisions.
Mm-hmm.
She knows now that like not everything will be a hit. And I just think this is a powerful approach. She's like, there are projects that come and go, and I will spend a lot of time thinking like, do I do this? Should I do this? And in that moment, it feels like the entire world, and I'm sure her livelihood, rides on making the yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've even had that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We felt like our whole lives ride on the decision we're making with this podcast, with who comes into our world, whatever.
Yeah. What creative projects to pursue.
Exactly.
Like, where to say yes, where to say no.
Exactly. And she's just kind of like, ultimately, like, these things will get made or they won't. They'll come out and they'll be cool or they won't be cool. And then they come and they go.
Ugh.
And she was like, and I don't live with regrets. And it's so true. Like, Barbie made the biggest splash of any movie of all time. And now it's like, I'm not thinking of Barbie every day of my life.
No, and neither is Margot Robbie, honestly.
Probably not.
And like, ideally, it would actually probably impede the Wuthering Heights press tour to be like, there's Barbie.
Right.
That's going to be a mess.
Intense.
Yeah.
See some backlash already. People aren't happy.
Oh, no. I mean, Jacob Elordi's casting is insane. It's kind of it's central insane to the plot.
Oh, of course.
Emerald Fennell.
I know.
Come on, girl. On.
Two Australians.
Yeah.
But when she was young, her ambitions were literally, if it's not going to win me an Oscar, I don't want to do it. Is that why she chose Spring Breakers?
I think so.
She put on a ski mask and a bikini.
It's like, who knows? But it was also like, you know, stunt casting in the way of so much about like the fake out of the marketing with all the Disney Channel stars and how fun it looked and then how not fun it was.
Yeah.
I'll never watch it again. That's all I know.
Yeah.
It's done. It was one and done.
I just found that an insane quote.
Yeah.
Considering her filmography.
If I'm not going to win me an Oscar, I don't want
to
do it.
Like if Timothée Chalamet was to say that in a profile and to look back in retrospect and be like, God, I was such a pretentious little fuck. Like I was always thinking, if it's not going to win me an Oscar, I'm not going to do it. And now I'm doing the princess, the switch, the princess switch. That would be kind of understandable. I don't know. This is something else.
It's not even arrogance.
No.
It's just, I mean, I guess it is like naivete where there's this sense of like, well, if I'm not operating at the highest caliber, then why do it? Like, you know, I want to go to Yale or like I want to go to Harvard when they think about college, or it's like I want to win an Oscar or a Grammy or whatever it is. And if I can't do that, then why would I do any of this? And then I think you get older and you realize like those things are 1% of the 1%.
You just want to do something.
Yeah. That you like.
Yeah.
In your day to day. That'd be ideal.
What she likes the most is spooky shit.
Yeah.
She really loves it. She loves ghosts. She loves Halloween. She has a Halloween party every single year. She has this fascination with the supernatural that started when she was a kid, because she always thought that she was like a garden witch. And she had a coworker actually who reignited her curiosity for all this, because he was like, what do you call angels? And she was like, I guess spirits. And he goes, yeah, so do you think an angel will get close to you if you don't let spirits near you? I had to sit with that for a moment and be like, yeah. Okay. God, her nails look amazing in this.
No, she looks so perfect.
She is airbrushed to the hilt here. Yeah. And that is maybe because spirits are all around her. Keeping her beautiful.
Keeping her young.
Keeping her stunning. Young and stunning.
And protected.
I feel like I travel with a spiritual entourage because I'll come into places that don't have remnant spirit energy and still feel things. Honestly, when you live with it, it's a casual thing. They're not like ominous or foreboding. It's more like you see them and they literally look like people. Lauren writes, she knows how this sounds, but to Hudgens, being open to this world in this way, trying to connect to something unknowable beyond yourself, was a crucial step in figuring out who she is today.
Yeah, her spiritual awakening also inspired her next project, in which Hudgens and her best friend, I don't know who that is,
no,
will work with experts to learn to better use, as she now calls them.
Yeah, I don't know if this ever got made.
I don't either. Yeah, but it did. It did remind me that Demi Lovato had like a Ghost Encounters show, and I can't believe of that forgotten history, and I need to go back now.
There is so much like forgotten history here. Like, she had a skincare line that she co-founded with Madison Beer that was like a holdover from the pandemic that I also don't know if that still exists. No,
I don't think it does.
Why with Madison Beer? Oh. Vanessa Hudgens is now the sole CEO of No Beauty.
Madison Beer had like a big exit.
Wow.
Yep.
What happened? God, I'd pay anything to know.
Yeah, me
too. The boss girl duo shared with Harper's Bazaar that their desire for the brand was to be an outlet for an easier way to approach skincare. Moving to 2023, the pair seemingly parted ways, as it was reported Beer wanted to focus solely on her music. Well, that doesn't sound good.
No. What is going on with Madison Beer? Where's her music?
That is a great question. She is someone that, honestly, we need to crowdsource an answer about. I have kind of like woven in and out of her career.
Yeah, like awareness. Well, you like...
Well, I've interviewed her a few times. Like, I've just really like woven in and out. And I have seen her as someone who has kind of been a victim of pretty privilege. A lot of people have seen her that way. Like, too beautiful to function. But then I've also read a lot of comments. It's been like, if you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. Like, there is no meat and potatoes. There's nothing strong anchoring it.
Well, it's like, say what you will about Chapel Roan, but like, she's like consistent in her messaging.
Well, you just know who she is.
Yeah.
You know who she is. You're aware. And Madison has been around for so long and discovered by Scooter Braun and has everything going for her. Beautiful voice, beautiful face, beautiful body, everything.
I don't know who she is.
But no one really knows what she's about.
Yeah.
So I think that has really been the hindrance there with the music.
It's so true.
Because some of the songs totally slap. Like, I love some of her music.
That is tough.
But Vanessa, before Lauren leaves, she gets a to-go box of beefless jerky. It was delicious, apparently. She asks if Vanessa is the happiest she's been in her career. And she kind of answers, I'm always going to want to do more. There's that quote, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching, from the late modern dancer Martha Graham, that I feel will always be the pace. She sighs with full theater kid earnestness. There is always more to be done. I don't think I'll ever be done with anything, she adds. I love it. I've always loved entertaining people because then I also entertain myself in the process, because I actually do love myself. I get a hoot out of myself.
I think she's sort of saying like, I'm my first fan. Like, I'm doing things for myself that I would like.
I actually do love myself.
Loving yourself is so often hard won. And this reads to me like someone who's like, it's fresh, it's new. I actually love myself. Sorry, not sorry.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she literally says like, if you don't fuck with me, fuck off. So she's really like standing on business here.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that this is the last quote. I think Lauren is like letting her hang with this, like leaving her out to dry with
get a hoot out of myself as the kicker.
No, it's a bit of a skewer. Yeah. Fully left up for interpretation.
Yeah.
Do you like her or do you not at the end of this?
Yeah.
I mean, I think she is like immensely likable. She is not necessarily like someone I would want to interview, but possibly someone I'd like to spend time around just to kind of understand better.
Yeah, sure. A little beefless jerky.
Yeah, she's interesting for sure.
Yeah.
The supernatural component, the way that she seems to be so warm.
Yeah.
Her voice, though.
Mm-hmm. Also, the COVID stuff was tough.
Oh, who could forget? We had a tough time with her. Who could forget? I mean, it is the 5-year anniversary this year.
I know.
People are going to die. Let's get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more people died, I think, than she was expecting.
Yes.
Than any of us were expecting.
No, of course.
All the writing here is on the wall in that it's like, I see the post-therapy excitement that I think overwhelms young adults when they're starting to like know themselves, and not just know themselves, but like understand themselves and love themselves.
It's kind of like the undergrad psychology degree excitement. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like you do want to stand on a rooftop and be like, I accept myself, flaws and all. And it can be grating to listen to that. But I see the whole time that sort of sparkle in people's eyes of like, this is clearly big for you, you know,
yeah.
You're having a moment with yourself.
Despite all that, she can't let herself off the hook.
No.
She's still being like, well, there's no Oscar on my shelf.
Yeah.
So until there's something there, then we will be able to maybe take stock. But yeah. We haven't made it yet.
We march on.
We march on in the night.
Yeah. What's her astrological sign?
Oh, she's a Sagittarius.
Oh, we could have never know what to do with those girls. I mean, have to say.
The celebrity sign.
Yeah. They do have a chaos with them. Like they operate on a different set of rules.
50 million followers.
Wow.
People are really, they're signed up and they're invested.
Yeah.
She also looks exactly the same as she did when she was 15.
Yeah, it's actually crazy.
If she's had work done.
Well, I wish her all the best. I do in life. And I hope she's going to Coachella, this week, last week.
This is the most neutral I think we've ever felt about a subject. Like, yeah. There's no one way or another.
No, she's not bothering me.
No.
You know, I'm not like, ugh.
I don't think she bothers anyone.
No.
I don't think actually no beauty exists. It's not in her bio. Kelly Water certainly is.
Yeah.
And Thomas Ashbourne, which is her cocktail brand. But
no beauty.
I lost to COVID.
Yeah.
Of the many beauty brands that were launched back then. Remember Addison Rae's beauty brand?
Yeah. I have an eyebrow pencil still from there.
Put that I'll on sell eBay. It. That's yeah, worth
you're
something.
Right. You're right. I lost the cap, but I think it could still go. And this was fun. I love Nylon. That was kind of my teen magazine growing up. It was 17 and it was Nylon. Those were the ones that I like reached for. But
yeah. I mean, it's still going.
Yeah.
Not all of them can say that.
No.
And it is really fun because these profiles are kind of like not super heady. They're kind of like a light lift.
Party girl talks party girl.
We don't have to do the Vanity Fair thing.
No.
We
don't have to do. It's three margaritas at dinner.
Yeah, exactly. It's three margaritas at dinner. We don't have to do the GQ 3 days spent with them thing.
Yeah.
We're just like here for a good time, not a long time, and some beefless jerky.
It's nice.
It's nice. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
I think we all take a leaf out of Vanessa's book and see the spiritual goodness in everything.
Yeah.
Find the party, wherever it may be, even in the darkest of times.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is a place on earth like this. What is it?
Heaven is a place on earth with you.
Heaven is a place on earth with you?
Yeah. That's how I feel, sitting here in our PJs.
Sign up to the Patreon for bonus episodes every week.
Like, and subscribe, and send us to a friend.
God, you've got it down. Goodbye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode. Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778. Hope NY. or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.